And my heart does perceive.
You're talking to me. You want my attention. You want my full attention. And then you want the gift of obedience. To be operating in me. Not for me to question. About every little detail. How it's all going to work out. Because you're the one that's going to do it. Not me. I give you praise, Lord Jesus. For what you've done already. There's a lot that's been done. And a lot more is being done. So that your plan will unfold. Because your purpose. Not my purpose. Your purpose. For this house of prayer. And for me personally. Is for me to quickly obey. Not always to look at the price tag. Or argue because it doesn't make sense. But to obey. That's my prayer. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Hallelujah. I give you praise. Jeremiah 9. To kind of get this word into us that makes some sense, I want to back it up to Jeremiah 8, verse 22. 21. Since my people are crushed, I am crushed. I mourn and horror grips me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wounds of my people? You see, we think that God does not have emotions, but he created us in his likeness. Did you ever consider that if he didn't have any emotions, you wouldn't have any either? Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears. I would weep day and night for the slain of my people. Oh, that I had in the desert a lodging place for travelers, so that I might leave my people and go away from them, for they are all adulterers, a crowd of unfaithful people. They make ready their tongue like a bow to shoot lies. It is not by truth that they triumph in the land. I believe he wished that we would succeed by truth. Okay? But we don't. It is not by truth, which is really Jesus, that they triumph in the land. They go from one sin to another. They do not acknowledge me, declares the Lord. Beware of your friend, or friends with an S. Do not trust your brothers. Well, you see, if my brother would have been in charge of buying that little box, I would have never got it. Okay? Because he was logical. And you know, I had another brother named Bob Arnold. And he was a money person and numbers person. And I had a hard time with him because I didn't trust those things. I had already passed that test, but he was in it. And periodically, he'd give me all these numbers and he'd say, but we got to do this because. And I would look at him and I'd say, Bob, I love you enough to say, no way, we're going to go by what God says, not by the facts. Because, you know, he was doing what he knew how to do, and I was blessed with him. But he was also an anchor. You couldn't run with whatever the emotions that we had, because he would be our check and say, no, we're not going there because, and he'd give us a reason for it. So he was a gift. So's my brother a gift. He held my sister back from wasting money. But in that case, it created a problem. So again, you have to be flexible, teachable, and usable by God. Okay, beware of your friend, verse 4. Do not trust your brothers, for every brother is a deceiver and every friend a slanderer. Friend deceives friend, and no one speaks the truth unless you get the Holy Ghost in there. They have taught their tongues to lie. They weary themselves with sinning. You live in the midst of deception. In their deceit, they refuse to acknowledge me, declares the Lord. So when you're deceived, you can't get those messages across because they will fly right by you. You'll never pay attention to what Holy Ghost is wanting you to do because you're so involved in logic and your foundation, which we talked about now for, well, I should say I talked about, the knowledge of good and evil and the logic that it involves. 7, verse 7. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty says. See, I will refine and test them. For what else can I do? Because of the sin of my people, their tongue is a deadly arrow, and it speaks with deceit. With his mouth, each speaks cordially to his neighbor. But in his heart, he sets a trap for him. Should I not punish them for this, declares the Lord? Should I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? Now, he's going from people to nations. And it's kind of cool because you're going to affect a lot more people than you realize. Verse 10. I will weep and wail for the mountains to take up a lament concerning the desert pastures. They are desolate and untraveled, and the lowing of cattle not heard. The birds of the air have fled, and the animals are gone. I will make Jerusalem a heap of ruins, a haunt of jackals, and I will lay waste the towns of Judah, so no one can live there. You know, when Jeremiah gave this information, could those people conceive of the years and years that that land would become so desolate and with nothing able to function? You see, we know because of the research that's been done that the Jews being back in their land is a miracle. We know that the timing of the things that God has prepared for the nation of Israel is very important. Do we comprehend the fullness of it? I don't think so. I think maybe sometimes we might get a flicker of light that goes on and we get a little bit of knowledge about God's plan for Israel. But to really comprehend it, I doubt very much if we can. I don't think we have that ability unless Holy Spirit downloads a vision, a word, or an instruction. Verse 12. What man is wise enough to understand this? Who has been instructed by the Lord and can explain it? Why has the land been ruined and laid waste like a desert that no one can cross? The Lord said, it is because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them. They have not obeyed me or followed my law. Instead, they have followed the stubbornness of their hearts. They have followed the Baals as their fathers taught them. Now, Baal is a demon that all of Israel bowed to. And even the revelations through what Dutch has given is there's levels of Baals that the United States has bowed to. And it is the demon spirit that runs this country and controls a lot of the people in it. Do I fully comprehend what that means? I would be lying to you if I said I do. I have a gist of knowledge, a little piece, a little nudge. And I trust Holy Spirit to give us more living water so that we will understand what the Father's up to and what the Father is preparing to clean up, because he wants to clean up what's going on in our country. But there's a percentage of people that worship these demons. And they worship with reverence, and they are faithful. And they don't doubt. They don't doubt because they believe what they believe, and their belief system is probably more dedicated than most Christians. Mm-hmm. Not all Christians, most Christians. So, I'd like to repeat that verse. Instead, they have followed the stubbornness of their hearts. They have followed the Baals as their fathers taught them. So you were taught. How were you taught? By example. You were taught by words that were given. And you were taught that they were serving God. They didn't say which God, with a capital G or a small g. And I believe, truthfully, that in my family, I would say probably close to 100% didn't have any knowledge about this type of thing. There was no real revelation in my family. Okay? They talked about the devil once a year. They talked about it maybe in October, and some would be aware of the whole Halloween thing. Now, of course, they start Halloween in August. Why are they doing it? What's happening? Something is wrong. In fact, I remember last year, I said to my wife, we used to be involved in the Halloween costume business 2 days before, because we would dress up the kids so they could go out and get candy. Today, it's an expensive holiday. It's really a holiday. They really celebrate. I mean, they go out and they buy outfits, and I'm not complaining. But do they know who they're worshiping? Haven't they got a clue? They don't. And if you tell them, they're insulted because you're taking away their candy. That tells you the deception of the enemy. Okay? And I have nothing against kids going around dressed up in whatever. I can walk above that. But I also know that when I give them candy, I bless them. So I do my best to survive, not to damage the children. But the parents don't want to know. Because in there, any time that you give them too many facts, they don't want to digest it because it's too heavy. Okay? Verse 15. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. See, I will make this people eat bitter food and drink poison water. I will scatter them among the nations. So that example of what he did to Israel is a warning for us. That's what he's doing. Okay? 16. I will scatter them among the nations that neither they nor their fathers have known. And I will pursue them with the sword until I have destroyed them. Now you know who was using Hitler's words and Hitler's people. God was already predicting it back into Jeremiah's day. Pretty clear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Consider now. Call for the wailing women to come. Send for the most skillful of them. Let them come quickly and wail over us till our eyes overflow with tears and water streams from our eyelids. The sound of the wailing is heard from Zion. Now I'm going to pause here for a moment. Since I picked on my sister-in-law and my brother, about 1998, 1997, somewhere in there, I get a phone call from Nicole, and my brother's on the other line, so they're both talking to me. Kim, we need to pray. I said, what happened? Well, it's about 7 or 8 miles from my house, and another car full of young teenagers just got killed going at an extreme extreme speed on a very straight road. No reason for it, but they're all dead. Except I think one. One was surviving. And of course it affected the whole city because there was 4 or 5 kids in the car and it mushroomed the whole town. Pictures of it in the newspaper, et cetera, et cetera. Nicole, her daughter, lived in the next village, which was probably less than 2 miles from Nicole's daughter's house. She says, every time I drive by that area, she says, my insides just want to go upside down. I can feel something is really bad. So she says, I'm going to send you a picture of a tree and see what you get. So a few days later, the picture comes in, and it's a picture of a tree. And just by the looks of the tree, you can just tell that there's something totally wrong. It just is, just by looking at it and praying in the spirit, my stomach started to turn. And I had already redeemed the land for my brother. We had prayed over their land, et cetera, et cetera. But this is public property. How do you act? How do you react? Okay? So I call back and I said, I really sense that you need to take Holy Communion and you need to go and deposit early in the morning, deposit it on that tree trunk and cancel whatever the enemy has done there, because there was accidents every single year, almost at the same time of the year, and teenagers were killed. Well, do you know that after they did that and they did the homework, not one more accident happened on that street or road? Not one. So what is it? They obeyed. They did what God told them to do on a public street. Why? Instructions were given and obedience was done. And you stop the flow of darkness because that was the commission they had in their hearts to do. Why? You know, sometimes you wonder why something is always going wrong. Did you ever ask and see if there's darkness sitting around somewhere? Maybe it's time that you think and not reason it out by logic, or it's going to cost you $10 or whatever. You see, verse 17, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Consider now, call for the wailing women to come. Send for the most skillful of them. Let them come quickly and wail over us till our eyes overflow with tears and water streams from the eyelids. The sound of wailing is heard from Zion. How ruined we are. How great is our shame. We must leave our land because our houses are in ruin. Now, O women, hear the word of the Lord. Open your ears to the words of his mouth. Teach your daughters how to wail. Teach one another a lament. Death has climbed in through our windows and has entered our fortresses. It has cut off the children from the streets and the young men from the public square. This was the scripture that Gwen Shaw, who formed the End Time Handmaidens, was given to do even when Princess Diana was killed in Paris. Her wailing women went and laid the blood of the lamb and pieces of Holy Communion bread under that bridge. And then the death cycles stopped. Same thing. That was done, believe it or not, in those same years that God was working to, let's say, arrest these that had been awakened by God to do a work for him. And you say, well, I'm waiting. Well, maybe you'd be questioning, it would be a good idea. Is there anything I need to do for my area? Is there anything that I need to be obedient to when a tragedy happens in a particular place? That's something you need to be aware of. You need to be awake. You need to stay awake sometimes to find out if there is something he wants you to do. Because if you never ask, believe me, he's going to think you don't care. Okay? Notice again that same scripture. Death has climbed in through our windows and has entered our fortresses. It has cut off the children. Why does he pick on kids and teenagers? Do you ever wonder why?
Future destiny.
Huh?
Future destiny.
Future destiny. Shut them down when they can't function and you can't figure anything out yet. Okay? So, verse 22. This is what the Lord declares. The dead bodies of men will lie like refuse on the open fields, like cut grain behind the reaper, with no one to gather them. This is what the Lord says. Now, again, if you think about the World War II pictures, when Eisenhower went through some of those death camps, prophesied hundreds of years before. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom. There's your brain. Okay? Or the strong man boast of his strength. Or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts about this, that he understands and knows me. That's what you can be happy about. That I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will punish all who are circumcised only in the flesh, Egypt, Judah, Edom, Ammon, Moab, and all who live in the desert in distant places. For all these nations are ready, really uncircumcised, and even the whole house of Israel is uncircumcised in heart. So circumcision by the Lord is not done by flesh. Circumcision will allow the Lord to take away the fleshy responses or the carnal responses. And he will definitely use his spirit to cut away how you think, how you function, and how you react. And when the Holy Spirit is in charge, his intent is to really change the outlook of your future. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for you and me to obey, to carry the ball as quickly as possible, and it's not always going to be comfortable. Okay? After that little box was given, and my brother and his wife went back home, there was a word of knowledge given because of a vision, and I can't tell you how many weeks or months. I don't remember that part. I could go over my notes. I do have notes from that. But the word of knowledge was that there was going to be a strike against Pastor. Something was going to happen that would literally shake him. Well, the Lord started to work with me to intercede and to give him maybe a couple of warnings that I didn't know exactly what was about to happen, but that we would continue to intercede for him and to pray. And for some odd reason, my perception, because that's where the strength of the Lord is with me, I perceive. I don't always have a vision, but I perceive. And in my prayer time, I would be thinking about something with his health. I didn't know what it would be. I didn't know how it would go forward. And he was fighting diabetes, and he didn't enjoy it. And there was a vision or a dream, could be both, that came twice about a tree on the corner of the land that literally I knew represented my pastor. I had an awareness that he was one of those huge trees. It was huge and big. It was right at the corner of the parking lot. And we had our normal intercession every Friday. And it was, I believe, on a Friday night. The Lord said, pray in diligently for him. I didn't know why. But there was a lightning storm, similar to we've had in the past few weeks. And a bolt of lightning hit that tree. And literally, it made a hole in the tree. The tree was, I probably would have been, let's say, twice my arm length. So it was a big, big tree. And the strike of lightning literally cut inside the tree and made a V-shaped cut down, and part of the tree fell into the street. The remainder stayed up, but obviously it was cut to the heart. And when I saw it, I mean, you couldn't help it. The minute we went out to go pick up our cars, it was right there. Perception was heightened, and I began to weep. And I said, Lord, I don't know, but something has happened. I just didn't know what it was. And he didn't show up for church for weeks. I would call, leave a message, and he didn't call back. He wasn't ready to talk. And I could respect that. And I can't tell you when he showed up. It was like, I don't know, maybe a month or more. And I could tell that he was really struggling. But I had to be careful how I acted and how I reacted, because I didn't want to bring any more harm. There was enough harm. He didn't need another insult. He didn't need another pressure tactic. That night, they used a wheelchair to bring him into the hallway, and he was able to walk up the stairs and hold on to a couple of chairs and sat down. He sat and he gave the message from the sitting position, which is what I'm doing right now, which is kind of different. And that was not his normal pattern. But when the service finished, I went up to him and I said, can I bless you? Can I anoint you? And he said, yes. And as I went to anoint him, I knew that there was a change in his demeanor. I didn't know what it was. So a few days later, he called. He says, I know you've called, but I want to thank you for the prayers from Friday night. He says, I've been struggling, and I've been cut. And I said, okay. And I don't remember if he mentioned cutting to the heart, but I knew that's what it meant because of the tree vision. I knew those two things were connected. No different than I'm showing you what I'm showing you on a table. They were connected. So I said to the Lord, is there anything more that I need to do? And he says, yes. Down the road, you will obey. Obviously, we prayed over the corner of the parking lot. We anointed the tree. They came into the city, had to remove the tree. But the pressure didn't let up until he was very weak. And when I went to visit him, he said, I've made the decision, I'm going home. And he said, you know what that means? And I said, yes. He said some other things which I won't go into. But I knew he was serious. But then he called me back. I can't tell you if it was a day or two or whatever. And the hound of hell were on him. The hounds of hell were pushing thought pattern after thought pattern after thought pattern, accusing, 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 accusing. And I finally said to him, Gino, you can't go there anymore. The longer you dwell in this pattern of thinking, this is not the Lord. You have obeyed every step of the way. He says, I just can't go dialysis anymore. I just can't. I know I can't. He says, every time I go, I see myself, instead of coming up, I'm going down. And I'd rather go home. And so, you see, Humpty Dumpty could not be put back together. The decision had to be made by him. When he knew everything that he was supposed to do was, and he knew it, but the accuser was trying to shut that down, trying to bring every degree of pressure against him. And I use that as a pattern of what's going on right now with our president and the circumstances that I see, the pressure tactics of years and months now of watching the deterioration that's going on. And I say to the Lord, I know you've got a plan. God has a plan for the United States. Watching this Do Not Doubt program was very precious today. And the anointing was very, very sweet. And the treasure of that particular program was a lady in her 40s, I would say, is going to be running for Congress in Ohio. And they're part of Tim's church. And her husband asked for prayer. And it was really, really sweet to listen to her. And then there was another gentleman that's going to be running for the mayor of a big city in Ohio. And they prayed for him as well. And it was a reminder to me of a lot of the things that we did for years at Grace. We obeyed. We were given discernment, et cetera, for the politics of the city, et cetera, et cetera. But the point that I'm trying to give you tonight, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will punish all who are circumcised only in the flesh. And then he names the countries. Amen? For all these nations are really uncircumcised, and even the whole house of Israel is uncircumcised in heart. There's a prayer in each one of you by the Holy Ghost to release what needs to happen in these nations right now. And there's a need for us to be obedient, to cry out for what he's prepared for the nations of the world in these next few weeks. I looked, and I believe the 21st of October, of September, is the beginning of the feast, which is coming very quickly. Mm-hmm. Okay? Do we comprehend Could it be the timing that God wants to change things? It could be. The trumpet, which is the trump, could be blowing a lot louder in that season. Because again, I believe there's a shift that has happened in the past few weeks. I believe there's an awareness of the darkness being exposed. You can see a little more of it in the news. I don't listen to it that much, but I can tell there's a difference. So if you'll lift your hands to him and say, Father,
Father,
we're believing
for the circumcision
of the nation of Israel
and the United States of America,
that you are going to circumcise our hearts in this country, so that the heart will be the heart of our Savior Jesus.
Filled with love and compassion and grace.
Because salvation is needed for this country.
The United States.
I stress united.
Not divided.
But totally united.
By the power of Holy Spirit.
Not by the power of man.
You did this in Israel, Lord.
You took them out of bondage.
You brought them back to their country,
which is a sign for us
that your ultimate return
to bless Israel,
to continue to bless Israel,
and to bless the leadership.
And circumcise their hearts, Lord.
That those who are in authority
will begin to see the hand of the Creator
working a miracle in them
and for the other sheep nations
to awaken the people
along with the United States.
So that we will become
obedient to the shepherd.
Because that's your plan for us.
I give you praise, my Lord.
And I thank you
that this is done because we believe.
Circumcision is in progress
and in process.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Any additions?